WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution, an online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling. Hosted by Tim Stein.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
The Intern.
Lita, I was hoping you could give me some advice on tonight. I know you have a lot of experience taking on five guys at once.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
You can't say shit on the internet.
We've only been on the air for 9 minutes.
You can't say shit on the internet?
No.
Oh, reprehensible, you bunch of potty mouths.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want. I call the shots.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR, Sunday night.
No chance to fix that.
The biggest party in the summer has come and gone, and we're here to talk all about it. This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. 24 hours almost after SummerSlam ended, and these three gentlemen that I'm going to introduce have opinions. First is Keishi Matsunaga.
My opinions are all positive because that's how I roll.
Wait,
I have one negative one. I'm sorry, I lied. I'm a dirty liar.
He's a dirty liar. Mine were all cackling last night, so I just cackled through it all. That's how we went. We also have the intern for another week.
You called us gentlemen. That is a bit of a stretch with the three people on this call. Keishi, not so much. You're all right. I know I'm an asshole. Tim, we'll let everyone form their opinion on him later.
If they haven't formed an opinion by now on the one and only Tim Stein, then, well, they never will. Hi, Tim.
Oh, you guys.
I was being nice.
We're behaving.
I was being nice.
You were being nice. You were being backhanded.
I was being nice and backhanded because my name is Rock, and that's how I roll. Get it? Rock and roll.
Tim with
what
a joke.
The heck
Tim
was
with
that
a
voice.
Tim with a fake Kermit the Frog voice.
that wasn't a fake Kermit the Frog voice.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Let me see if I can still do my fake Kermit the Frog.
He's trying to find it.
I'm excited for this to turn into a really bad Kermit the Frog, aka a half decent passable Ray Romano.
Oh no, I could never get as deep as Ray Romano.
We'll see.
It's the Muppet Show! Yay!
Oh, dear God.
That was
now
awful.
In that voice, say, no, Deborah!
No, Deborah!
See, it's too high.
Very high pitch. Very high
no,
pitch.
No, Deborah, don't do that.
See, it doesn't work.
I'd say there was a frog stuck in his throat, but that would be doing a disservice to a frog.
Oh, God. Hey, intern.
Yes?
I had a great time traveling joke to tell you, but you didn't like it.
We're here to talk SummerSlam tonight.
That was dead on arrival on three different levels.
When Nightbot has better jokes than Tim.
Hey, Rock, have you ever organized a party?
Quite often, Tim. Why?
It's a lot of work, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know how astronomers organize a party?
How?
They just plan it.
So we're here to talk SummerSlam that happened 24 hours ago live on Peacock and on the WWE Network around the world.
And we'll eventually get there.
We're going to get there now. Because I don't know.
Come hell or high water.
Nah, come hell or high water, we're going to give you a show. So there is that. So I gave these guys some homework, and we're going to dive into their homework. And based on their homework, they really, really loved Edge and Seth Rollins. So we're going to start with that. Casey, why was that your match of the night?
I mean, I just, in my opinion, I thought it told the best story with Rollins consistently kind of going after Edge's neck. There is a very good chance that the Brood entrance kind of also like swayed me towards that being my favorite match of the night too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I liked it better as far as overall storytelling back and forth. I mean, the Cena Reigns one was very close. I thought they did a very good job as well. But Edge Rollins, and I mean, it could have just been the fact that that one was at the end and I was tired of sitting and watching wrestling for that long.
It happens. It trust me, it happens.
I was just getting to the end, man. My battery's running low.
But, I feel you.
Yeah, no, I liked Edge and Rollins. You know, Edge kind of did the greatest hits of Edge. He hit everything. And I mean, regardless of where Rollins is on the card, he's still a great worker. I thought they worked really, really well together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, favorite match of the night.
That Brood entrance was amazing.
It really was. So good.
I popped so hard. Well, they set it up on Friday, and they've got, you know, the bloodbath, which was apparently black liquid instead of red. You know,
it looked purple.
Yeah.
It was leftover.
It was a brood bath, guys. They called it a brood bath.
As opposed to a blood bath.
Yeah.
But they still use the term five knuckle.
Kind of lost Casey there for a second, I think.
Casey dipped.
He dipped.
Earth to Casey.
Kind of lost him for a second. It was leftover fiend goo, I guess. And two.
Called shuffle. So.
And he just like keeps going without even realizing that he blacked right out.
I think his internet's trying to catch up with him. So we'll hopefully catch up in a minute with Casey. He's like, it's, you know, it happened.
Edge's double entrance.
But before,
the,
no,
the man is such a Hall of Famer that he gets two of them.
He gets two of them. No, for the blood. So I think they made it darker so they didn't have to put it in black and white when they show it on like replay.
I think it was a little bit of that, and plus just the black hitting off of that white suit.
Oh yeah, that was great.
So there's multiple levels for that, but I just remember when I first saw, you know, the bit of Edge going dark and then that hitting Seth, it's just kind of like one of those whoa moments, and it was so great to see in that moment.
It was a nice teaser leading into what happened last night with the entrance, as you guys have been talking about.
Well, and the best part about this is, so they didn't have the raised stage.
Mm-mm.
So you don't get that regular Brood entrance of the Ring of Fire and the elevator. Instead, they had to have the camera down low, but it just made it look that much more sinister.
No, Brent. They put
a stage in.
Yeah, they wheeled something out for it.
Oh, yeah, because he walked down it. But, I mean, it was still, the camera was lower.
Yeah. It was lower, but no, they wheeled out a platform for it.
That's what happened to the Aleister Black platform.
That's what... No, so if you notice during Rollins' entrance, they're like, they're really honing in just looking at Seth Rollins, and it was like a really long, here he's just posing in the ring for as long as they can, because they're wheeling it in.
Yeah. Speaking of that, can we just talk a minute about, holy shit, the entranceway?
It was different.
Dude, if Taker was there, we would still be talking about SummerSlam going on.
I mean, it wasn't.
No. If Taker was there, we'd still be waiting to talk about SummerSlam.
Jesus. No, at least we knew no one would do a run-in because they'd see it coming a mile away, literally.
Well, as we've seen throughout the night, you did. there were some really long things. But Tim, you seem to enjoy this match.
I did. It was really good. It told a great, fantastic story between these two. And this one, I said that Edge would be victorious via DQ. Edge won. It wasn't by DQ. That being said, It was absolutely just fantastic right from Edge's double entrance, which was absolutely awesome.
I like
nice callback to the Brood coming up, you know, the Ring of Fire. All right.
I liked how Edge pulled out his wife's finishing move in the match too.
Oh, that was good. That was
cool. Oh, and she called it out on Twitter too. She was just like, "Aw, love." I just like how much more vicious and in a sense a little bit desperate Edge got as the match went on.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was one of those things like he was starting to hit Seth with stuff and Seth wasn't going down. He tried to go up to the top rope and that of course leads to the Falcon Arrow spot. But you could see Edge like pulling out all of those old moves from the past. The ones that you kind of went and were like, "Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Oh, that's kind of mean." What was it, the education?
The educator?
The educator, thank you. Yeah, that's the issue. When he put that out, you're just like, oh, Seth's not supposed to bend that way. And yeah. Then when he gets to the finish and he's just banging Seth's head against the mat going into the crossface, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, he's taking he's kind of pissed now.
Well, I mean, he didn't use a piece of a chair, so he had to, you know, get creative.
Yeah, you got to love Michael Cole, though. He brought back the educator! What do you mean brought back? Oh my God, Michael.
It was never gone.
I mean, technically, Edge brought back everything he was.
He brought it back from, like, neck Friday surgery. Night.
It was like, good job reading the script, Cole. Because it sounded so robotic, too. He brought it back. Like, great. Fantastic.
Oh, I love it when the camera catches Cole in the middle of him giving you the diatribe. As you see him actually looking straight down, he's got the glasses on, the Benjamin Franklin glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And you see he's reading the script.
Yeah.
At the very least, he could put it on his freaking laptop, not his iPad.
So, Edge won. Was that the right decision?
For that crowd, yes. Plus, it can give, as you talked about last night, it could give Seth a reason to go a little crazier. Because he lost to Cesaro, he lost Money in the Bank, and then Edge has beaten him, and he's supposed to be the heir apparent to the SmackDown title, though we will touch on that later. But it can push Edge a little further to insanity, in a sense. And if you want to have a second match with these guys, which I don't think a lot of people will complain about, you have a reason.
Yeah, this is why I was kind of hoping for an Edge victory via DQ. I'm completely satisfied with the result, and they can take it another step from here. But I was having a hard time envisioning it until we saw the match itself. But having Edge win, yeah, absolutely the right call. Seth versus Roman is not going to happen before next year now. Now, when I say next year, I don't mean a year from now. I mean after January, which is really actually not that far away. But because they're not ready for that yet, and like you said, Brent, we'll get to it. But they've got a chance to extend this for definitely for a couple of more months.
And even, you know, even if Seth doesn't go crazier, like he's enough of like a greaseball heel that he'll be able to recover from that loss no matter what, whether he says, you know, "Oh, there was cheating," or I didn't expect to see Brood Edge. That's not what I was ready for. Blah, blah, blah. He'll make it work. He'll make it work. Also, like, I wish he wore that gear at WrestleMania when it was appropriate with the pirate ships.
Oh, his gear. Yeah.
The Sergeant Pepper coat.
Yes.
I mean, you know, good gear from them. It was nice. So that's Seth Rollins and Edge. One other match that happened on this show was the crowning of a new champion in Damian Priest as he became the new U.S. champion by defeating Sheamus. Are you surprised by that one?
Not really.
I mean, that's kind of what I thought would happen, so no.
It's kind of the right move for Damian, I guess, because I heard on Twitter last night, he's been undefeated on the main roster in singles matches.
I mean, when you go through programs with The Miz and John Morrison, that's not too hard.
It's not too hard, but it's like with the way they 50-50 book.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a good, as far as, like, next steps for him, and clearly how they've been booking him as someone who has been undefeated, that's definitely the right step to go.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you help in a program and you help get Bad Bunny over, they're going to help you out. That's what we've learned from this. If you play the game and you can, you know, help the celebrity get over, and truth be told, Bad Bunny did a great job himself, but if you can do that, the company is going to look at you and go, okay, yeah, let's give you a shot. I mean, we saw that with Nikki. We've seen it with, you know, a couple of other guys. When they get that chance, if they want to just take the ball and run with it, they'll support it. And I think this was that time of, okay, let's put that title on Priest. And plus, no offense, Sheamus, it was talked about before, Sheamus is there to kind of help make some of the new stars. And we got a hard-hitting match in this with him and Priest.
Oh, man.
Sheamus needed to take about a step forward at one point in the match to keep Damian from busting his ass, but he still busted his ass.
There's no better babyface spot than pulling off the heel's protective gear.
The look on Sheamus's face of, oh my god, oh my god, that sold that spot right there.
It's like the superpowers are connected to the face mask, and now he lost it. It's like, well, shit.
I'm screwed
now. But yeah, so Damian Priest is your new U.S. champion. Makes sense. Good babyface is the champion. Now you just gotta find them a boatload of heels to fight that aren't Miz and John Morrison, because they seem to be in line to fight the New Day, especially with you know, Woods coming out last night at Scott Hall.
Oh, hey, so good! I loved it so much.
That was fun.
It took me a second because I saw Woods come out with like the straight hair, and I'm like, "What the hell?" And then I looked at the shirt, and I was like, "Oh." Oh, I see what you're doing there. Okay.
That was literally the exact same thing that I did. I'm like, oh, his hair's all super straight. And then I'm like, look at the shirt. Ah, so good.
So I noticed the little curl at the top of the straight hair.
Yeah. I saw that too, but I wasn't entirely sure. The shirt confirmed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, for me, it was the toothpick.
Of course.
And I didn't mean the one he was chewing. I meant the one that he had stuck behind his right ear. Did you guys miss that?
No, I saw it.
Well, at first, when they're shooting from behind and it's from the left side, you're kind of like, I don't see the right ear. Then they came around front and you're like, oh.
Like, he posted out on Twitter the other day, I guess it was Saturday morning, with the shirt. It was like, oh, cool. They're doing, you know, throwback shirts, and New Days gets the Wolfpack to sell NWO shirts. Like, all right, cool. Didn't think it was going to show up on SummerSlam, but there it was.
Now I want to see Kofi Kingston done up with the pants and singlet, Kevin Nash style.
I was waiting for him to come down the aisle.
I was
Nash.
Too.
I was like, "Where's the camera cut?" Nope, it was all on Woods. So I was just like, "Oh, damn it."
He may have not been there. That's probably what happened.
I know, but still. You need the outsiders.
Dressed up as Nash.
I want leather pants with fringe Kofi Kingston on Monday.
With one glove.
And tank top.
And what's him?
And tank top.
And tank top.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get it. Because, I mean, if you looked at the gear, it's not a one-night gear thing.
God, does that mean Kofi's going to blow out a quad getting to the ring?
Why would you wish that on at him?
Why? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if he's going to be the Kevin Nash role, it might just have to go all out. I don't know. Maybe he's that much of a seller.
You are the injury guy, so you're really cursing him with the injury now. You understand this, right? If it happens, it is in fact your fault.
Yeah, we're gonna blame Brent,
which that is the gimmick.
What else is new? Blame the intern for plenty of things.
I mean, because it's so easy.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Brent, you're foreshadowing.
Very, very easy. Going back to really quick, the SmackDown tag titles were successfully defended by the Usos over the Mysterios.
Oh, boy.
What, Tim? What?
Well, the match was fair. I wasn't expecting anything off the hook. I mean, like, Christ, you know, poor Rey Mysterio is almost as old as I am nowadays. And he's starting to move like it. Dominic's still green as grass, but he's getting better. There was one go back to school moment in this match.
Okay.
For me. And I sent you a note about that, Rock.
I know, that's why I was leading to it. Just go with it.
Okay. Well, at one point in time, there was a tag between the Usos, and the legal Uso was on the outside the ring. Dominic is staring straight at the ref when she indicated it was a legal tag. He's watching her do this. He knows who was it? Jay, I think it was. Was it Jay?
I don't know.
The one maybe with red in his hair.
They both
have. It was the Uso that had some red in the back of his hair.
Here's the thing: they both have red in their hair now, so you really can't.
Okay, is it the one with the shaved sides in back, or the one that actually still has kind of the mullet? Because that's the way you can tell them apart now: is one actually has hair in the back.
There you go. Well, it was one of the Uso brothers, anyway. After Dominic spent literally 10 seconds watching this, he very slowly climbs up to the top of the ropes, and you're watching Uso come walking around. He's watching him walk around before he looks away and back into the ring, and that is just that's worse than a rookie moment, Cash.
I mean, he could have been just as confused as to which Uso that was as we all are, regardless of whether he saw them tag or not.
There you go.
They've been around for how long?
I could stand there. I could probably stand there, look at them, have them tell me who was who, and then as I'm staring at them, after about 5 seconds, if they are just like, "Oh, just kidding," this one is we switch the names around. I believe them because I don't know.
No one knows at this point.
I was going to say, how long have they been in the WWE, and we still don't know which is which? Wait, which one's married to Naomi?
That's like Daniel and Henrik Sedin of the Vancouver Canucks would switch sweaters during practice just to see if their teammates would notice. Yes, that was a hockey reference in August.
I know. You can't live without your hockey references. We get it.
Hockey. Hockey's life.
Okay. So, again... I'm just moving on. I asked one question, and we're going to pinpoint one of the answers.
You asked one question, and now you're regretting it.
No. For the homework. What was your most disappointing moment of the night? Let's talk about Bowling Shoe Ugly, Goldberg and Lashley, Brent.
Oh, dear God.
Let's have a conversation.
No, Brock, number one, you got his name wrong.
All right, contractual obligations.
Thank you. Contractual obligation against Bobby Lashley in the match. Going into this, I think when we talked about it last week, when anyone has talked about it on this network, when anyone has talked about it in the universe, when it comes to this match, I don't think anyone expected a 4-star classic. I think we all expected about 4 minutes.
They went 7.
They went 7, but dear God, did it feel like 20.
They actually started off the match trying to put together an actual wrestling match.
Who wanted that?
Well, here's the
Lashley,
kicker.
Probably.
So you had Bobby Lashley come out first, and yes, internet fan, I know the champion came out first. It's horrible. It's horrendous.
Every single champion came out first, except for Roman Reigns.
The people who get antsy over that.
No. Incorrect. AJN almost came out second.
Didn't the Usos also? Because you had the Rey and Dominic spot leading into their match, and then the Usos coming out second. Either way.
Okay, it felt like every single champion came out first.
It felt like
Okay, this was this thing me and Lindsay were talking about. The champion who came out first lost the belt. Except for Lashley. Yeah. But that's how it was feeling.
But holy God, the one thing, so Goldberg comes out for his entrance. Mm-hmm. Number one, he didn't come out from a dressing room. He came in from the outside, if you look at the door.
They may have been trailers outside.
But then why did they have the name Goldberg?
Because
to make it look like his dressing room.
Because it has to look like it's 1998, Brent.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, when you look and you see the jam and the hinges go outward... Not a dressing room.
If you're going to do the Goldberg shtick, you have to do it to its fullest.
Oh, no, they did the Goldberg shtick. The fans wanted nothing of it. They were dead. There was no Goldberg chant. The camera lingered on him. You didn't get the pyro because you couldn't because of the way the arena was. And then it took him forever to get to the goddamn ring. And
well,
when
he didn't want to blow up before he climbed the stairs.
Oh, no. He looked blown up when he was trying to get Bobby over on a spot and failed miserably. This, I texted Rock yesterday. We're watching this match, and I was just like, God, this is bull and shoe ugly. And it did not get better at all. The horrible spot with MVP hitting Goldberg, and 30 minutes later, he turns around and goes, did you hit me? And then have to try and, like, lazily sell the knee before Lashley hit him with the chop block. It was just, there was so much about this that was bad, and the way this match went, we're getting another.
Yeah.
This is not good.
Oh, this match wasn't disappointing because it delivered exactly what I expected, so I wasn't disappointed.
I understand that, but I mean, if you want to talk about, like, deflating the entire card and arena, that's what this match did. Like, after this match was over, and even after you had, you know, the end spot hit, it was just like everyone was just praying for the sweet release of death.
It seems like lately Goldberg performs well on network television and terrible at the pay-per-views.
Because they only put him in there for like 2 minutes on TV. They give him so much time on the pay-per-view. That's the problem.
But they don't give him a lot of time on the pay-per-view. It's not a lot.
But yeah, he burns up most of that time walking to the ring.
If it's more than 5 minutes, it's too much time.
Hey, listen, Goldberg's entrance to the ring at a pay-per-view should always last longer than his matches.
But not as long as an Undertaker entrance.
No.
Nothing should last that long. We only put up with it because Undertaker was good and could go.
Yeah.
And the gimmick was gold.
But I said this last night, I'll say to you guys, this matchup, it was booked perfectly.
Yeah.
It was. Like, the heel attacked the injured the babyface so he couldn't continue, and then the heel beat up the babyface's kid. The crowd,
until the fans got it.
The crowd, however, rejected the entire booking of it.
No, the booking was done, like, it was the right booking. It was bad execution. When it was bad, because of it being bad execution, the crowd refused to buy it.
Like, they cheered the son getting killed.
Here's the thing. Like you said, the booking was great. It was your talents that were the problem.
Except for Bobby Lashley.
But Lashley did his role just fine. And yeah, he beat up the kid. And he did everything he should have, and the fans should have eaten that up and booed the shit out of him. The problem is, everyone doesn't want contractual obligations. And they made that clear in real time.
And he should never, ever try to throw someone off the top rope, because Lashley could have really been injured.
He landed directly on his shoulder, and when the camera was on him, I was waiting for him to just grab it and be like, oh shit, they're going to have to call an audible right now.
Yeah, never mind. That was just one. The other one, he almost caved in his head.
That too.
On the ring post.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And I feel almost prophetic because I tweeted out just before the match started, hey, Lashley, protect your head. And of course, that was a very indirect reference to him ending Bret Hart's career, but me being a wise ass. And then sure enough, 2.5 minutes after I post the tweet, Lashley almost gets decapitated. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Look, there's a difference between two guys working snug, working tight, beating the hell out of each other. We saw that in a perfect example tonight. What you saw last night was, there's no other way to say it.
That?
It was just bad.
Edge and Seth last night were perfectly good, snug, and tight.
Yeah.
By contrast. And you could tell that Goldberg didn't like it's when a wrestler who's full of himself doesn't like the booking of the match. You get a performance like you got last night from Bill.
But hey, he looked like Goldberg. That's what counts, right, guys?
No, that's the problem.
He got in shape. He didn't care about cardio. He just wanted to look like Goldberg, right? That's all we care about, looks.
Well, hopefully now that he looks like Goldberg, he will get in ring shape so that the next one is better.
Casey, I have a very important question.
Yes?
Has Goldberg ever been in ring shape?
Yes.
In the 2000s.
No.
Okay.
But you weren't specific. You weren't specific.
He wasn't that specific. Enough.
Well, actually, I would say maybe like his first match or two in the WWE, maybe. But like, yeah, since
the comebacks, no.
Since the comeback, not really.
So Lashley is still your WWE champion. Has an eventual rematch, maybe with Goldberg, maybe maybe a crown jewel. Who knows?
It'll be in October at the pay per view that hopefully no one watches.
It'll probably be on a Thursday.
Yeah, I hate to bring this up and actually say this, but it's just a fact of life in politics. It's going to be hard to wrap your brain around them giving the title to Goldberg and Saudi.
No,
we've already done it.
We've already seen it.
He beat the Fiend for it in Saudi, remember?
Oh, no, shit. Forgot about that.
You've already seen
Bray
it.
Bray Wyatt in Saudi Arabia. Killed the momentum instantly.
So that happened. Speaking of just happened, Drew and Jinder happened.
Did it?
Yeah. It happened.
Oh, Rock, I want to correct you on something from last night. Jinder did get one piece of offense in.
Okay, one piece.
It was when Drew tried to charge for the initial Claymore and he hit him with the rising knee and Drew looked like he got knocked loopy for a second. That was the one bit of offense that Jinder got in that match.
I must have tweeted something as that move happened then. Because my memory didn't remember anything else.
There were also some stomps, I believe.
Ooh,
if I remember correctly.
Ooh, some stomps. Ooh, fancy.
Hey, sometimes that is all you get.
Stomps only work when you're trying to cheese it in a video game.
Spam the stomp. Start to get your special saved up and hit it.
That's the only time it works. Apparently it didn't work for Jinder because this is real life and not a video game. So Drew and his magical sword beat Jinder.
Phrasing.
That's what happened.
I know, but phrasing.
What? What's wrong with the phrasing, Brent?
I don't need to know about Drew's sword anymore,
and
okay?
Then he started charging after people with a sword.
He started swinging his sword around wildly.
Yeah.
Rock, be careful. The intern's going to start yelling at you, calling you Lana.
That's how you get ants.
Yes, another Archer watcher.
We've said about all we can.
I know.
That was a thing.
As Lindsay said, he just wants to penetrate people with his magical sword. There you go. Also, Alexa beat Eva.
Oh my God.
I enjoyed how they did that. And what they did at the end of the match I thought was really fun.
Oh,
too.
God. She just... Doudrop owned that.
Yeah. And I mean, I thought, like, for as much as people crap on Eva Marie, which, I mean, as far as what little I've seen of what she did. I mean, what she did tonight worked. I guess I should say they did a really good job playing to her quote-unquote strengths.
Talking about Eva Marie. Yeah,
yes.
She took every spot well.
Yeah.
She hit every bump.
She didn't look clunky or like really, really badly timed. Part of that was because probably she did not do much for offense, which, like I said, play to the strengths.
Yeah.
I thought they put that match together very, very well. I thought she did a very good job at the end of the match. When Doudrop gave her the business and put on her little robe and she's just like, that's designer, how dare you? And like acting like completely shocked. And I thought the character work that she's doing right now is very, very good.
Yeah.
And if they stay that course and just have her like continuing to believe that she is something that everybody quote
knows
unquote
that she's not.
Yeah. And plays, but like plays it like walking around with her nose turned up because she's the only person who doesn't see the forest for the trees. Then, I mean, it'll work for her.
Yeah. Her role in this run is to just help get people over.
Yes.
Whether it's Piper, whether it's Alexa, whether it's whoever. I mean, not that Alexa needs it, but just. In this feud, Alexa's going over. We all know. We all saw. But yeah, it's making Piper.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll get her name back after this is over, because the Dewdrop name, I think, is what Eva gave her, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I hope so. You do.
So she may get another name, who knows. But yeah, Eva, the saddest thing is when Eva sells better than Goldberg. Honest to God, if you compare their matches, Eva sold better.
I mean, she probably wants to be there a little bit more than he does.
Very true.
So when people want to be there, there's probably a higher tendency that they'll put a little bit more effort in than when someone is contractually obligated.
So for some would say, Charlotte being the women's champion is contractually obligated because she walked out of the building last night as champion, Keishi, and I don't think that set well with you.
Well, no. It didn't, for a couple of reasons. I mean, yes, is Charlotte a good wrestler? Yes. Does she deserve titles? Yes. But why have her get it taken away the night of Money in the Bank, or the night after Money in the Bank, or whatever, only to have her win it again, what, a month later?
Mm-hmm.
What was the point of having a Women's Money in the Bank match if you're going to throw it away in 30 days?
Good question.
It did not make sense as far as, I mean, I guess it's so they could have a Women's Money in the Bank, but now it just seems like next year, am I really going to care about it? I don't know, because it just seems to be the throwaway briefcase. Like, oh, good, you got it. And what, within 24 to 48 hours, it's just not going to matter.
To me, when I watched this match, the reason Charlotte won was two reasons in my head.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, Nikki won the Money in the Bank as kind of as we talked about earlier, she came up with a gimmick, got it over, she bought into it, and people seemed to resonate with it, so it was kind of like, okay, good for you. We'll give you this and, you know, see what you can do with the run. And then she got the title the next night in the surprise crossbody to Charlotte for the win. The problem is, and I think you guys touched on it a little last night, the fan reaction live for Nikki, it's like internet-wise, you're seeing all the images. You're seeing a lot of the praise. But when you start to see some of the live reaction, it's not as big as people thought or people thinks it should be. Like going into Raw before SummerSlam, like Nikki came out and there was a little bit of cheers. There were some boos, and I think there was some apathy, which is never a good thing. So maybe some people saw that in terms of Nikki and they were like, well, she's just not fully getting over. Or B, maybe Charlotte winning is a way of, when it comes to Nikki and the superhero gimmick, sometimes superheroes need to face adversity. Sometimes they need that super villain, I guess.
She's also the underdog that got to the championship too quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, but this was like a Daniel Bryan style payoff, but it was very expedited.
But to the point of saying it's not over, you have to realize who it's geared towards. It's
right.
Not geared towards the demo that everyone is looking for.
It's geared towards the little girls.
Little girls, little boys. I was having a DM conversation with someone earlier today, and they were like, my 5-year-old son always asks when she's on TV. So that, it's working.
And maybe this is kind of a Hulk Hogan moment for her, where it's like, okay, she's lost the belt, now it's time for her to climb the mountain, play the underdog role, and win the match. Although we saw Hulk Hogan later in the night.
But it's something where it's going to take time for it to get over, and again, the demo is what, it's not meant for the guy, the older guys to cheer for.
But Rock, we know that the demo is the only thing that matters. You've got to hype the demo number.
I know, I get it. I get the demo and everything about it. I hope you all enjoyed your ice cream bars.
Which you can buy the wrappers on eBay. Apparently.
God, that is so stupid. Who wants to buy a wrapper from ice cream for $100?
Marks.
People, some schmuck's going to bid on it.
A lot of them.
Plenty of schmucks are bidding on it. Plenty of them.
Tim, what was your take on the Charlotte winning. I know. Oh. I know it was your favorite moment of the night. That's what we had written down, right?
No.
Oh, no. Oh.
Absolutely freaking not. Everybody knows my feelings on Charlotte and title matches in the main event. It's time for her to hand over the spotlight, for crying out loud. It's disappointing. It is that they continually put her in the title picture, keep giving her the title. Nikki losing the title, okay. If she had lost it to Rhea,
I thought that
would have been fine.
I thought that's
Rhea agree. Deserves
it more than Charlotte at this point.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they could have done Nikki chasing Rhea for the title as well, because Rhea's kind of standing on that fence. So
Brent talked about live reactions. Rhea's been getting it at the house shows, the live events. She's been getting the biggest babyface reaction as Rhea.
Unsurprisingly, because I mean,
yeah,
nobody understood why she came up as a heel.
Yeah.
So, but you can still play that off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Rhea could be like, "Hey, I was in your shoes at one point, and you just gotta, you know, like, come get it." Because Rhea was there about a year ago when, you know, she lost to Charlotte. So,
but I said this last night, I'll say this again. Nikki Ash, ASH, Nikki Cross, whatever you want to call her, if you told me 6 months ago she'd be in a title match at SummerSlam, we wouldn't have believed it.
No.
So that's good booking. Charlotte winning is, I guess, it is what it was.
Yeah.
We'll see where it goes. I don't know. Speaking of booking, a moment that shocked people, caught you off guard, even a favorite moment, and someone's most disappointing, was the SmackDown Women's Championship event.
Event is a good way to put it, for sure.
It was scheduled to be Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair.
Now, my question for you is, how long have they known Sasha wouldn't be cleared to wrestle?
Depends on who you hear from. That's the answer. The phrase 8 days is being thrown around, but they did a contract signing, and like, then the next night they were off house shows. So
yeah,
something could have happened. There are many theories of what it could be.
Well, when they did the contract signing and Bianca went over the table and after throwing the chair and taking out Zelina Vega, what are the chances that she caused Sasha to take a bad bump?
There's a very possibility that she could have got concussed. Or there's other things. No one knows.
This is a little out there. I saw one person on Twitter trying to start the rumor that she might be pregnant.
I mean, you can theorize it. It's a possibility.
She was just married a couple months ago.
No, so that's a lie. She's been married for like four years.
Yeah, so she just got married a couple... No, I'm telling you the tweet.
Oh.
She just got married a couple months ago. That's why she wasn't on TV between WrestleMania and just before SummerSlam.
Like, that,
dude.
No.
Yeah, no.
No, because...
It's been 3 years, number one. Number two, who was it who did her wedding?
Brody was part of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, but she... could have also been filming for a series that she's on.
Galaxy Far, Far Away?
Yes.
Yes. Season 3.
Just theorizing that. There are many reasons that she was not on the show. Did they know? Probably. But to them, they're going to... To them,
wasn't she... In... No, she wasn't. Never mind.
To them, they thought she could be available on the show at some point. Who knows? Because whatever. So, instead of Bianca fighting Sasha, it was going to be Carmella.
And the crowd died.
Until it wasn't.
Well, yeah, they're saying that this was literally a last-minute thing. She was in the building and said, go get your gear on.
Oh, yeah, last minute. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was in the works for a good 5 days, minimum.
I mean, They
had shirts.
They had shirts. It's been more than 5 days. I knew at least two, three weeks ago that she was going to be at the show. So.
I did not.
But it's just like knowing she was going to be at Money in the Bank. Like, it was told she was going to be there. Doesn't mean
she's
gonna
be. You and I talked a while back about her being at SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We've known she would be there. Doesn't mean she was gonna be on the show. We're referring to Becky Lynch, by the way. Came out as the replacement, tossed Carmella to the side, a weak throw into the steps, and then
I'll be right back.
Yeah, handled her business. That was good. That was good.
I just put the smile on Bianca's
Carmella.
The smile on Bianca's face when Becky walks in, chucks Carmella, is just like, be back in a second. And just Bianca like, all right, I see you.
And then Becky beat her in 26 seconds, which has caused controversy on the internet. And I'll let you all talk about it now.
Oh, boy. The fact that they gave Becky the belt last night, I don't have a problem with. What I have a problem with is she delivered a rock bottom to beat Bianca.
Oh, Tim, manhandle slam.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a rock bottom. Manhandle slam. Whatever the hell. It's a rock bottom. Anyway, this is bad. Yes, of course, I get it. The whole idea is, oh, you caught the champ off guard, so you're able to steal their belt. That's old booking. It doesn't work nowadays. And what you've read all over social media over the last 20 hours is ample evidence of that. It wasn't people being disappointed or upset or any, they're pissed off because the damage it did to Bianca.
But what damage did it do?
It made her weak. It weakened her character.
But
I know what your argument is, Rock. I listened to you last night talking with Lindsay, and I heard Lindsay's reply to you, and I'm definitely more in her corner than yours on this one.
I have more of an argument to be made, too, because I thought about it more today. But
It should have been a punch in the face for a knockout.
But here's the thing also.
Punch in the face for a knockout. And everybody would have bought it.
But even Bianca came out today and was just like, she caught me, I see her, but I'll be ready.
Yeah,
like, I'm coming for her.
She's trying to sell it after the fact, which is great. But nobody's going to buy it. Not in this day and age, is my point. Like I said, this is not old school booking, even though it's old school booking. It's outdated booking.
When your champion is overconfident, like, Bianca has been, not just last night, it kind of makes sense for someone to catch her off guard, right?
Because
in the build up to this matchup, what, Zelina Vega kept challenging her, Carmella kept challenging her, she would accept the matches. Like, when Sasha came back after the turn, it's like, I want a title match, and Zelina's like, I want a title match, it's like, I'll take you now, and then I'll take you at SummerSlam. The night before, she fought both of them. Like, her cockiness caught up to her. That was my point of it. It's like, her cockiness caught up to her. I know people hate it. It's fine.
Yeah, and it would have worked in the 1980s.
Well, everyone else is booking in the 80s. Why can't they?
Well, here's another thing, though.
No, I've already told you how bad that Sting no-sell was.
I wasn't talking about the Sting no-sell. Because bad.
Here's what I have to say about it. Becky is thrown in there as a last-minute replacement. We know that she's been working out. Don't know how much she's been working out.
She's been working out a lot. She's been at Seth Rollins' school forever.
Okay, I understand, but I'm just putting this out there.
I'm telling you, I've read reports. She's been in the she's been in the ring.
But I was just going to say, like, if she was put out there last minute, let's say the anticipated goal was originally October, and she gets put out there in August. Everyone expected the second she came out, we were going to get this 20-minute classic. She may not be ready to go the full, you know, a full thing like that. Maybe they just needed the spot, which is what they gave us. Also, Bianca was ruled as, you know, possibly having something. She got cleared, but we don't know what the extent of her stuff was. Maybe she gave us what she could in that moment as well. There's a lot that we don't know that we could find out in the next week, month ahead, but maybe we got what we got for a reason, and it wasn't just Becky wins lol.
They went for the surprise moment. You got it. It didn't resonate with everyone. I thought it was fine. I think Casey thought it was booked right.
I don't think it took anything away from Bianca. I don't. She can come back on Friday, and she can put herself in the exact same spot that she was, maybe minus a belt. It's not, it's, I don't think it took anything away from her.
Because I thought going into the show, she was losing. I thought we were going to get a new champion because it's, the babyface needs to chase a little bit. That was my theory going in. So her losing didn't surprise me. Was it shocking? It was 26 seconds? Yeah, but I wasn't offended.
Well, and we've seen people lose in less than 26 seconds, and they've turned out to have pretty good careers. It didn't
You guys, you're focusing on the fact that she lost in 26 seconds. Nobody has a problem with that. The people who were bitching and complaining was she lost because of rock bottom. It should have been a surprise knockout punch.
No,
Tim. Something more believable to take her out.
Tim.
So you're saying that a finishing move that has been used by a wrestling superstar for years is not something that you should use to pin someone and win?
That is a finishing move that takes place after a certain length of time in the match when the guy's been beaten down a little bit.
Okay, but
we have seen people kick out of the rock bottom. That finishing move.
Tim, he took out Eric Rowan in 4 seconds with that move. It has won contests with just that move by itself.
Would you rather have had her tap her out?
That would have been more acceptable. Yeah.
I think that would have made her look weaker to tap out in 20 seconds. That, to me, that would have made her look weaker.
Yeah, I'm taking the entire devil's advocate side for this entire thing. So, you know.
So am I, damn. Kevin, you realize this?
The real problem.
So we're both like the anti-antichrist here on this one.
Yes.
I think the real problem isn't so much with she got hit with a finisher. It's that she got hit with a finisher that other people have kicked out of, and that's the problem, is that too many people are kicking out of too many people's finishers. That's the problem. Not what she used. It's a problem of the fact that they need to try and shock the fans to a point where everybody kicks out of everybody else's finishing move now, even though in other times during promos or other sequences during shows and whatever, they can come in and hit someone with a finisher and they'll stay down for a long period of time while the guy goes and cheers and does whatever. Because you can have someone kick out of, or whatever example we're using, a rock bottom in a match 1, 2, 3 times. But even leading up to that or whatever, The Rock would be able to do a back and forth with someone, catch someone off guard, hit him with the rock bottom during promo time, and they don't get up right away. He could theoretically pin him for 3 seconds if he wanted to, because, well, that's what the writing determines. So, unlike Stone Cold Steve Austin does the same thing. People have kicked out of the Stone Cold Stunner, but he'll come down to the ring, he'll pretend to drink beers with someone, he'll cheers them, turn around, give them a Stone Cold Stunner. They don't get up right away. So, I mean, the argument of the fact that it was a rock bottom and people have kicked out of it is kind of invalid.
So, like I said to start this whole thing off, it stirred some controversy. But here's the thing. It's gotten people to talk.
That's what I was going to say. If anything, it's just drawn eyes.
Now, come Friday, you want to see where they go next, because people aren't, you know, people are going to still watch the show and see where this goes.
Oh, well, you know, there are a few people out there who did cancel their Peacock subscription app because of this.
I mean, there could have been other reasons people canceled their Peacock subscription.
Oh, was that? Okay, go ahead. Right.
I was going to say, I have not heard that. People canceled things? Huh.
That just gives me a kick out of that promo Triple H cut that one time.
Anyway, moving on now, because I'm not the one stirring shit up. So,
bullshit, but anyway.
Not in this manner. Anyway, your main event, the hardest worker in the room, John Cena, comes back to take on Roman Reigns to see if he can get his 17th title win. Brent, this was your match of the night.
It was, because I liked the psychology that both guys employed on either side of this match.
Yeah, it was really good.
We saw in the build-up, John Cena openly admitted, I'm going to get my ass kicked on Saturday. That's what it's going to be. But I don't have to, you know, kick Roman's ass all over Allegiant Stadium. All I need to do is get 3 seconds. And he did the roll-up on Friday. The fans counted 3. And for once, You saw that look on Roman's face of, oh, shit.
Gonna cut you off really quick. Cole was behind a second. Anyway, continue.
But I just like the fact that, like, for that moment on Friday, I mean, yes, I know that some people said it was ruined by the fact that Roman said, if I lose, I'm out. We've seen that kind of stuff thrown around before. But there was that just moment on Friday when you saw the look on Roman's face of, you know, he realized that Cena's right. Oh, shit. All I need to do is get rolled up for 3 seconds, and everything I've built could go away. Oh, God. And so all through this match, I just love the fact that, like, even though it was employed, I think, a little too much, Cena with the, you know, the quick roll-up and just, like, 1, 2, and then the kick out, it kind of built all that up. Like, you know, oh, he might slip one in here. And if he did, I would have laughed my ass off because I wanted the moment of him reproducing CM Punk. And by the way, people, his shirt, I know you're saying he ripped it off of Punk. Punk also ripped it off of Nintendo, which other people have done. The Young Bucks have ripped it off of all of them as of today. Get over it. That being said, I love the back with the 8-bit championship belts and the dates on there and what he had for the entrance. That was fucking cool.
Yeah, that was good.
But then I also just love the fact of, like, Roman, the entire match, just beating him down. When he kicks out at 2, and just he looks at John, he's like, oh yeah, 1, 2, that's it. And just the constant shit-talking he gave in the match. Both guys played their role beautifully.
Oh, it was a beauty match, as they say in Canada. That match was a beauty.
Oh, so it was good. It was very, very good.
When Roman looked at the camera, producers, directors, people of Hollywood, I'm gonna kick his ass.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. Oh, you can have him back, but he's gonna be broken.
I just loved it.
I love when John Cena did, your time is up, my time is now. Hoo-wah.
And he gets kicked in the face.
Great.
Like I said earlier, like, I also love this match. It was a very close second to Edge and Rollins because they did a really good job. I think if there were a few less pins on the side of John Cena, I probably would have given this one.
But again, but it played into the 1, 2.
Yeah. Right. And I mean, and the fact that like because John Cena said all he needed was 3, the fact that he literally like went for a pin almost every other move or any time he got close to Roman Reigns, it made sense.
Also, I liked how Roman also did a small package on Cena as well.
Yes.
Also, props to Cena. He didn't have to do half of what he did.
No, he went into this match.
He could have mailed it in.
He went into work. Good on him, because we've seen other people kind of like, you know, come back for their big appearance, and it's like, okay, they showed up, they did some stuff. No, Cena put in a match.
Goldberg.
He came in, he put on a show. He's a showman, he delivered.
Trying to make up for that Transformers movie he did.
I mean, of all of them, Bumblebee was...
Yeah, actually, No, that was the actually good one. I love that movie.
Yeah, why can't I take shots at Bumblebee, man?
I wasn't taking shots at Bumblebee. I was taking shots at John Cena. Because nobody was taking shots at him last night except Roman.
Although
he took
lots of shots at John Cena.
What the hell?
That was a Skype drop, I guess, for someone.
Okay.
For me, I do have to call out WWE for something that I have done many times for another company. When Roman and John went outside the ring, the referee just apparently forgot everything.
He forgot to count.
I can hear Roman, bring him back in. Come on, Roman. Come on. He's calling him like a golden.
Come on, Roman.
Yeah, he's calling him like a golden retriever.
He threatened to do a 10 count.
And it's just one of those things. That's what kind of takes it out for me, is when it's like, we saw in other matches, you know, the referees hitting that count, you know, 6, 7, 8. Okay, yeah, great. And then it's like John and Roman get out there and it's like, nah, I'm good.
The referee is
using his discretion.
Don't know.
There has to be a victor in the match So he made a judgment call as the referee in the match to not do the 10 count.
Okay, spoken like hold up. That was spoken like a true indie wrestler rationalizing his match.
I was being like 500% sarcastic.
I know, so was I. I was picking on you. Anyway, no, but that whole he's not counting took me back to the Kevin Owens Roman Reigns fall the last man standing match where Heyman forgot how to use
it. I can't unlock it.
Owens is cuffed to the railing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No, Owens wasn't cuffed to the railing. Roman was. The ref stopped counting at eight. Roman is still sitting on his ass. 12 seconds later, Roman finally gets his feet under him.
8.5.
And
eight
10 minutes later, quarters. 10 minutes later, Heyman finally figures out how to unlock the handcuffs.
They got him the key. So Roman Reigns is still your Universal Champion. You mentioned Paul Heyman. Well, he probably shit his pants when music hit. As Brock Lesnar in his top knot has arrived back in WWE.
Hey, full Bjorn leather britches mode.
He came from Asgard, let's just call it.
Boy, did he ever.
No, he came from Kattegat.
To be fair, the second that, like, Roman gets the win over John, the fans are, you know, they pretty much give Roman the business because that's just who his character is. That music hit, and those fans erupted. They were happy to see Brock.
And so that is actual proof that this planet really is going to hell in a handbasket over the last year and a half? Not one, but two WWE superstars regularly getting jeered had the roof blow off for them this year.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Brock looked happy to be there.
Yeah, absence ain't there to go from. But what it does is it says that Roman is playing his character so fucking well. He, Roman, has gotten both John Cena and Brock Lesnar over.
So Brock came out and they had a stare down. Paul Heyman was...
Can I ask you one thing, Rock?
Huh?
After you're done with the telling everybody what's going on, tell them what happened when the cameras went off.
Oh, I was going to get to that.
Okay. Good, because, and go ahead.
So Brock and Roman had the stare down. Paul Heyman is just like, oh, my God, no. God, I've seen a ghost and all that stuff. Curled up in the corner at one point, clutching the belt.
Oh, boy.
He sold
Paul
it.
Paul Heyman.
He sold it, Casey. He sold it.
Oh, boy, did he ever. It was...
It's Paul Heyman. What'd you expect?
And he's you could barely even catch him on the screen, but boy, do you hear him. No.
No, we're leaving. Get out. Go.
I heard him say, I'm sorry, Brock. I heard him say that.
And then he's telling Roman to hold up Tyler, yeah, you're a champ. Yeah, let's get out here. You're a champ. And Brock's just out there smirking, and that closed the show. That was great. To add on to that afterwards, Brock Lesnar then destroyed John Cena.
like you do.
Send the crowd home happy because they didn't get a fight, but Brock came to fight, so they beat up John Cena, which circles back to Brock's first return to WWE.
SummerSlam 2014 when he annihilated John Cena.
I was saying when he first came back in 2012, was it? Yeah.
Cause right. Was it 12 or 10?
That was 12. Right after Mania 28, he came back the next night and beat up John Cena. Left him laying. And then they had their Extreme Rules match, I think.
Yeah.
That was before Suplex City became a thing. But yeah, so everything came full circle.
So you got to be looking forward to Friday night.
Friday's going to be interesting. It's going to definitely be interesting. Since he's on the show, he can give us results.
Oh, yeah, I can. All right, so... SummerSlam Pick'em with one match we did not give credit for because, well...
It didn't happen.
It wasn't technically a match. So, in 11th place at 4-5, we have The Wheel. It did not have a great night. Just above that, in 9th place, tied, we have Lindsay and the 8-Ball. 5-4.
On the positive side of things, I mean, you know, it wasn't on the other end of it. All right.
Yeah. In well, seven.
Lindsay, at least you were over 500.
That's the point. It was on the positive side, yeah.
In seventh place, at 6-3 tied, we have Rock and his Team Rack Fantasy teammate, me, at 6-3.
All right.
Woo! Tied in fourth place at 7-2, we have Sheila, Chris P., and Keishi.
Yay! 7-2.
And then finally, in first place, we have Amy and Michael.
Good job, Amy and Michael.
Good job.
A winner is you.
Intern.
Yes?
You forgot me.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, wait, let me see.
And I get a point for saying Edge wins.
Now, he did say by DQ, so I just want to put it to the panel. Should we award that?
As what?
As he gets a point, because he still picked Edge to win, but he said by DQ, so he put a qualifier on there.
Oh, I mean, I haven't been here long enough to make that.
No,
that,
you can. No. You have an opinion. Make it.
I mean,
we could give him half a point because he was half right.
Well, the extra stuff I didn't think mattered. So
you give him a point.
I would give him a point because he said Edge wins.
Okay, then he finished 8-1 as well. There we go.
Yeah, he was going
to. Yay! So I tied with who?
Amy and Michael.
Amy, Michael, and Tim in first place.
Congrats.
Good job, Amy and Michael.
Hey, intern. I don't believe I've ever buggered you up like that.
No, you have.
I've done it to Rock almost every fucking time.
So that was SummerSlam.
And that was WTR Sunday Night for Sunday, August the 22nd, tonight. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed our SummerSlam review show. Congratulations to Samoa Joe for becoming the NXT champion tonight on TakeOver. What a match. That being said, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the Raw Post Show.
We're live, 11 p.m. Eastern, for the Raw Post Show.
Hey, did you know that Lindsay Ward returns Thursday night with another award-winning edition of the multi-time award-winning The Rack?
We'll be live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review NXT TakeOver. And so much more, it's The Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, you can also check out The Rack Extra Reviews Madden NFL 22, thanks to our friends over at EA Sports.
And speaking about sports, electronic edition, don't forget to create the code Rock and Sock every time they go and play Fortnite.
It's in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. You can also use code LINZMWARD as well, because we are hashtag Epic Partners.
Yeah, and Rack Extra this week?
I just plugged it. The Madden game.
Do it again.
The Madden one. Go check it out. The Madden review. It's available now.
And after a one-week hiatus, they return midnight-ish Saturday. Another edition of the Wild, Wacky, Unusual, Don't Bug Me, I'm Sleeping, CB Radio.
It's more like Don't Wake the Baby. It's CB Radio Live every Saturday night, midnight-ish, CB Radio Live on all social media platforms.
There you go. And, of course, next Sunday night, if there's enough to talk about, we're going to be here, 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern, another edition of WTR Sunday Night. And I'd like to say a very special hello to the godfather of extreme, Mr. Rob Parks. Rob, just know you can reach out anytime you need. That said, we're done. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you Sunday.
You're not going to do anyone else's social? Cool.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Social media. Did you know that the website stuff is all over social media?
I got this, Tim. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/ Wild Talk Radio Network, WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Brent's on Twitter, at KingKins, and he's on CB Radio and Fortnite with Friends. Keishi.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and the Twitter, at Kyle Driver. There's also a link there to a merch store if you want to check out my merch, which is very basic, but I am proud of it. That's all I got.
That's all you got. Go watch him wrestle live if you're in local area for him. Go watch him live.
So, Alberta.
Yeah, go watch him live.
Yeah.
buy tickets just for him, not anyone else on the card, just him. Do the thing.
It's fun to watch Casey wrestle.
See, I do okay.
He's a professional. Tim's on Twitter too, but he has like 17 Twitters.
I do, but I'm only going to plug the ones that I'm currently active on at the moment, which would be the one that I'm posting on every day. More really, really good bad dad jokes, sports talk, wrestling talk, and just general goofiness at Flames Forums. If you're in the Calgary area, Calgary, Okotoks, Chestermere, Cochrane, Airdrie, and you're looking for a handyman, follow me at Tim's_toolbox. You'll get actual tips and tricks from yours truly. Plus, I'll be posting and regularly post pictures of the odd jobs that I do and have done. I don't care where you're from. You can follow me if you want to see what I'm up to. That's fine and dandy. If you're in the Calgary area and you need to hire a handyman, that's one great way of getting a hold of me. Tim's_toolbox on Twitter.
Slide into his DMs.
He'll also take your trash.
Junk removal.
So there
Thanks,
you go.
Thanks, Keish.
No problem.
How come everybody else calls you Keshi and I call you Keishi?
Because you're one of the very few people who pronounce my name properly, and that's what I like about you, Tim.
See? There you go. And that was just me getting a pat on the back, I forced them open.
Because Tim needs a pat on the back sometimes.
I do!
He has a very fragile ego. He needs it just once in a while.
Nobody loves me.
Okay, Barry.
Except for everybody who loves me.
Send it home, Tim.
Have yourselves a great night, everybody. We'll catch you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
WildTalkRadio.com.